like a horse and carriage, this I tell you.
Welcome to KVMR. You're listening to He Said, She Said. He Said with Paul Sanders and...
She Said with Harriet Diamond. And let's talk about our mission here. Our mission with our show is to give everyone, our listeners, new perspectives so that they could communicate more effectively and be happier in your relationships.
And despite our lengthy experience, me as a therapist and Harriet as a life coach, we're focusing on giving new perspectives but not providing therapy.
Right on.
In fact, our show is about has been about infidelity and how to move forward and heal. I remember our last show, Harriet, we were talking about the definition of infidelity and why does it happen. So what are your thoughts about infidelity?
My thoughts are this is a very heavy subject.
Mm-hmm.
And here I've been reading and researching and doing two months of it, living in this subject, you know. I'm glad today is our last day.
So it's been this kind of a bummer.
Well, not a bummer, but it's a really important topic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about helping those people
right.
who are in committed relationships. I mean, that's where infidelity is.
Right.
When that happens, you're in a committed relationship. It's not just about dating someone. It's what is your contract? What have you discussed that you're going to do? Or are you committed to each other, even in the dating? Are you committed to each other?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be married or engaged or any of that.
True.
But you've set a commitment that I am going to be with you.
Right.
And let us unfold and let us learn about each other.
So instead of looking at the downer part of it, like, oh my God, this happened, I'm crushed, I'm ruined forever, this can be a milestone, a springboard to rebuild. And get back to that committed relationship and move forward maybe even stronger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, before we start, I think we should thank our peers here at the studio for voting for us. We got a lovely award. Was it last month or November?
Last month.
That we were voted for Rookie of the Year, both of us, for this show. And we're so humbled and thankful and grateful for all of you for supporting us.
Yes, it was a shocking surprise for
me. It was. I was shocked.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you to all our people who voted for us.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul, let's continue to bring some good information out here to our audience.
So we spent the last show kind of really breaking down what is infidelity, you know, and how it could really happen to the best of us. But we kind of purposely held off talking about what to do about it until today, because there's a lot to cover.
Right.
So, you know, before we start, though, I'm still stuck on our last caller, Monica.
Uh-huh. Our New York caller.
A New Yorker.
A New Yorker.
She talks like you, Harriet.
No.
Do you know you have an accent?
No, I don't. I know you've told me this, but no, I know I don't.
But
have
you
an
think
accent.
I have a California
yes,
accent.
Yes, you do.
So you don't have an accent.
No,
I
don't.
Got it.
There you go. He said, she said, you know? Okay.
But I'm still stuck on her because it seemed that she was still blaming herself instead of her ex for him cheating on her. And, you know, I kind of gave her a trick question like, well, who is to blame here? And she started to blame herself. And I said, honey, it was a trick question. You really ought not to blame yourself. But I know you and I differ sometimes
differ?
On that. Yes.
Yes, we do.
You know, I hope that she kind of takes stock of what is hers to own and what is his and just kind of reassign responsibility and move on. But I do worry about those victims of the cheaters. You know, do they blame themselves for their partner's bad behaviors? Yet we as adults, we are taught to hold ourselves accountable for our actions.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know, I'm ranting. What do you think?
No, I think that's all true. I mean, when I think about Monica, there are things I wish that I had time to say to her so it might help her for her next relationship that she has. And when she felt that she learned from this other woman that he had been seeing for 5 years and at the same time seeing her, she had clues. She actually had clues.
Like what?
That things were going wrong. Well, she told us that when it came down to holidays or Valentine's Day, remember? Or Christmas or whatever the holiday was. I'm sorry, sweetheart, I can't be with you. Hey, wait a minute. Why couldn't he be with her, you know? And I think that...
What would you do, Harriet, if that happened to you, someone you're seeing? What would you say?
Paul, immediately I would say, hey, wait a minute. You know, you couldn't see me on Valentine's Day and you couldn't see me on Christmas. So what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Sweetheart, tell me exactly what's going on here.
Wow.
I probably wouldn't even let it go. Yes, exactly. I'm such a believer in every day really facing the music.
But what I'm hearing is direct communication.
Yes.
Fearless communication.
Fearless is my word. Absolutely.
And I say that because I think people are afraid to ask.
Yes, they are.
You know, maybe they're feeling vulnerable or they're afraid of the answer, which isn't good.
Well, I think that's where it's at, that they are afraid of the answer. It's better if you keep your head in the sand, even though things are going along and you really don't like it, and you would like to have the changes. You're not a happy camper every day. Why? All you have to do is say, what's going on here? Hey, let's talk about this. In fact, you know what, Paul? This is a perfect opportunity for our listeners to use the show, today's show on infidelity, to say to their mates, to their loved ones, hey, you know, I heard a show today on infidelity.
It's two crazy people on KVMR.
What do you think? What do you think about this?
Sure.
At least bring up the subject. Because it's not a subject that people really talk about. Betrayal? No, I don't think that's high on the list of what you talk about every day.
Right. Or you might grouse about your ex that cheated on you with your peers, but it doesn't go beyond that.
Right. Right.
It's like that lousy so-and-so.
Right.
You know, and you make a blanket statement to your friends, but you never really talk to that person.
Because you never really want to find out. I mean, maybe it's going to come down to, hey, we're not good for each other. Now, there you go. That opens a whole big bag.
And maybe some people are saying, I'd rather be with someone that doesn't meet all my standards than be alone.
Well, there you go with the word fearless. Mm. If you want to accept and compromise, then you have to say, what am I compromising on? Is it those essential things that are important to you in your life? I've said this to you before. I never mind compromising. Should we go to Chinese or Italian tonight? But no, not when it comes down to spiritual or emotional issues.
Sure.
Values. Mm-hmm. No.
So you're speaking out to the audience. We might as well say, hey, if you've been touched by infidelity or you have something you want to say or something you've learned about the experience, give us a call at 530-265-9555. And we'll make space for calls a little bit later. But feel free to call anytime.
And they don't have to call that they were betrayed or something happened. You know, our community hesitates in calling us. I hear this all the time because their voice can be recognized. So I'm working on that. So maybe they won't be recognized. But the point is
they can recognize a New Yorker for sure.
Oh, thanks, Paul.
Sorry, I had to say that.
Okay, yeah, I could see you had to say that. Yeah, well, I do think that it would be a real good thing to always speak the truth and come from the truth and not to be worried about what you're going to learn. Because you know what? It's going to come out anyway. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it came out with infidelity and betrayal. And that's kind of the worst way
it could come out, right?
Absolutely the worst way. I mean, it damages, here you go, it really damages the sense of security in ourselves. Mm-hmm. For me, it would shake my foundation, you know, about my security, but also it challenges the trust that we have to the core. Yes. So I think it's really touches your feelings of your own self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I've learned, we often walk around feeling in a lot of different areas that we're just not good enough.
Okay.
Well, here it is right in our face that maybe this betrayal was due to the fact of you're not good enough. Mm,
it confirms your own belief.
Absolutely, even though it has nothing necessarily to do with that.
Well, and the therapist in me says you can get those beliefs all the way back to childhood. Because a lot of times children feel not good enough based on how they're perceiving their parents to be treating them. And sometimes you get over it and go, hey, I'm a good enough kid this whole time. You know, my parents are just holding me accountable or something. But some people grow up and they never get out of those beliefs.
I think that's
true.
It's
like a baggage we've been talking about.
It is. It is a baggage. I mean, it could be even in any other area, too. Mm-hmm. Like someone told you, you're not a good singer. You're mm-hmm. not good enough.
Well, for that, that's actually true.
Well, you know what?
But you know what?
I've been singing, yeah. even though I think I'm not good enough.
Right.
I've kind of gone against the feeling that maybe I'm not good enough. And I just sing it out anyway.
Sure. I was actually in bands in the 80s, and I sang even though I wasn't very good. They just buried me in the mix behind the other players. But I challenged myself. It's like, I might have gotten messages like that, because I kind of did as a kid. But I pushed beyond and said, well, I'm good enough to do this, and I'm going to do it.
Oh, good.
You know, so.
Good. But definitely, you know, betrayal, infidelity, being cheated on, or is really about that it brings this up for mm-hmm. you, that you're not good enough. You're not good enough in your relationship. You're not good enough sexually. Mm-hmm. You're not good enough as a companion, whatever it is, you know?
I wonder if this happens, we rewind the tape and go, when has this happened before? And you almost go through every single breakup, and then and you end up piling up on yourself. It's like, and this relationship went south, and oh, what about this one and this one? And after a while, you're feeling really crummy, like, wow, I'm not good at relationships, as if it's all on you.
I've heard somebody say that they're not good about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Or can you imagine taking that on? I'm not good about relationships. I mean, gosh.
You're doomed.
Yeah, exactly. There was a movie, I think, about this guy who went out to all his 20 dates that he had.
Oh.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And he wanted to find out, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
I remember one woman closing the door in his face. I mean, he must have done something bad. Meanwhile, let's get back to infidelity.
Sure.
But the point is, there's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
There's a journey of healing for the betrayed.
Okay.
And what I feel about every experience that we have in our lives, mm-hmm. and maybe some are painful, Paul, experiences
sure.
Can be painful, it does, in this case, cause an opportunity to rebuild mm-hmm. and look at what was going on. So I call it heal and rebuild.
Sure.
You know?
I'm thinking of the Chinese interpretation of crisis, which is an incident and then opportunity. So you have the tragedy and then you have the opportunity. Same kind of thing, rather than looking at it as a negative.
Well, it is a negative. I mean, obviously it is. Mm-hmm. Your world is crashing,
sure.
right? I mean, so that's not a happy, ha-ha kind of thing.
Right.
But the point is the experience that you're having. Can be one where you could be propelled to kind of move forward, mm-hmm. look at what's going on, take stock of what's happened, and move forward in a way with a plan or an action plan or
sure.
to make it all better or get to the place where you want to go.
Uh-huh.
Or the flip side of that is maybe not to be propelled mm-hmm. and you start feeling handicapped.
Yeah.
And you start bringing in all the things that you're not. Okay?
And so, I'm kind of stuck on that because I agree. This is so shocking to some people. And this pain you talked about as
right.
an opportunity to rebuild, this pain can also cripple you.
And
it could make you retreat or even get into a major depressive episode. You know, it could make you angry enough to maybe want to lash out, but also maybe that anger is a catalyst to make those changes in your life for the better. You know, so, I don't know.
Well, I think that might be setting the stage for healing.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to think of it as I'm angry. Okay, I'm going to get, you know, make this better.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather people think that hey, I'm having this experience. There's a reason why I'm having this experience. I'm to learn from it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of my spiritual thing coming in there, of looking at nothing is happening to you. It's always about that you need to look at that experience and learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why maybe you will not have it repeated again.
Sure.
That's why what I was saying to Monica earlier mm-hmm. in this conversation, hey, Monica, don't be afraid to ask. When you see something going on, don't stick your head in the sand. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, what's up here? Regardless of any consequence or
sure.
any unpleasantness that she's going to feel, better to ask and get it
mm-hmm.
than to have it dumped on you.
So let me play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
What about those women, or men for that matter, that feel like if I bring it up, it seems like I'm just being really petty? Maybe it's me. I ought to just let it go. What would you say to that?
Petty? We once talked about petty.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think anything that's important or crossing your mind is petty.
Oh, I'm not debating the need to ask or talk
okay.
about what's going on. I'm saying there's some barriers people have, and that's why they don't ask. Because deep down they feel like, well, I'm just being insecure or being petty, so I'm not going to bring it up. So what would you advise that person?
I would say they would have to ask, because or else they're making these assumptions.
Mm, we've talked about that.
Oh, assumptions are horrible. They're false. You don't even know what that person is thinking. It's like, remember, even in our first show, where the guy comes back from work and he's sitting in the chair in the living room.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not going to talk at that moment.
Right.
And she thinks, oh, my God, what did I do?
What did I say?
What did I say?
We're getting a call. Hang on a second.
Oh, great. Oh, I love this. This is great.
TV Mar, this is Paul.
All right. Well, I think there are a lot of stages.
Yeah, do you want to come on?
Okay.
Do you have a...
Maybe we can talk about stages for healing.
If I hang up, please call right back, okay? Okay.
I wanted to also say that there are things that inhibit moving forward in healing. And a lot of times that's ego and pride. And you feel like, hey, I'm not going to take this and move with my relationship. I'm going to end it right here. And that's coming from an ego and pride place.
Cool.
Oh, so we have a caller?
Yes, let's
okay.
put it on. Caller, you're on KVMR. With He Said,
Hi.
She Said. Who? What's your name?
Hi, my name is Jill.
Hi, Jill.
Hi, Jill.
Hey there. I just wanted to add something to your thoughtful, thought-provoking
sure.
conversation. And that is, I am a breast cancer survivor, and I went into the doctor for a completely unrelated issue after I had found a lump in my breast, and didn't mention it to the doctor until I was done with what I had come for,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't that. And he said, is there anything else I can help you with? At which point I said, yeah, you know, I found this lump on my breast. Maybe I ought to have you take a look at it. And he looked at his nurse and she looked at him, and I think they both rolled their eyes discreetly. And what I found out, what I discovered in that moment of pre-diagnosis, was there's something called out-the-door disclosures in the medical world.
Okay.
And those are things that people are concerned about, but they don't ask about because they don't really want to know the answer, because it might be something horrible like breast cancer. But in fact, early detection is the reason I'm 12 or so years out of
that. I'm so happy for you. Thank God you got through that. But I'm intrigued that you connected that to what we were talking about, that there's a need to talk about things.
Right, not putting your head in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what you're saying, Jill?
Well, I'm just saying that we all have certain things, you know, blind spots in mm-hmm. in our psyches that we don't even realize are there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that sometimes divine providence just moves in and helps push us. Anger can be one of those things
sure.
that you mentioned right. earlier. You know, sometimes I believe forces help us
mm-hmm.
when we can't help ourselves.
So did the doctors help you?
God, but I beg your pardon?
Did the doctors help you, Jill, at that point? I mean, you were happy that
they did.
Okay.
Oh, well, I was sent to a surgeon the next day and diagnosed and in surgery the next week, you know, and because of that, I it didn't get in my limbs, and I'm a survivor.
Wow, for 12 years now. Is that what you said? That's fantastic.
Más o menos. Yeah, more or less.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so thank you for the conversation.
Sure.
I don't want to dominate it here, but I really appreciate, you know, you're opening up these forums of thought so that we can take the best care of ourselves that we're capable of at the time.
Thank you so much for calling, Jill.
And you know what, Jill? That's such a good way to put it, too. It's taking care of ourselves. Thank you for saying that, because that's how I see when you're feeling betrayed, that it really is about taking care of yourself and deciding, where do I want to go from here? You know, hey, maybe even in that betrayal, you've now come to the decision, you know what? We're not good for each other. We're really not. I'm glad the situation opened up. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about it before, but I'm glad that it opened up. And that
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I wanted to say that maybe it's time to move on. Here we are talking about let's set the stage for healing, okay? And I believe in that. There are things to do that will help you heal through this infidelity. But the point is,
I'm not talking about infidelity.
Right,
I brought another thing
exactly.
in. Exactly. I also have my belief is that, you know, I don't tell myself stories of betrayal because, you know, I don't see that as my truth.
Yes.
I don't think there is betrayal. I think there's only lessons to be learned, and I'm not a victim.
Exactly.
You know, I love that.
Okay. Well, I love that. Yeah. I love that, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill, for calling KVMR.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Have a great day.
Right. You, too, and stay well.
Yes, definitely.
You, too. Bye.
Okay. Bye now. Well, that was really good.
You know, I actually wrote down what Jill said.
Okay.
We all have certain blind spots. And I think she called because I was talking about that sort of that inner dialogue you're having. Oh, maybe I shouldn't bring it up. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm being petty. Maybe I'm being a naggy wife or husband. Because I'm talking about I'm not discounting the need to say, hey, what's on your mind? I'm talking about the barriers, the internal barriers people have to even getting there. So if they're able to see, they have certain blind spots, like Jill said. Or we get past, hey, that's my childhood stuff. Remember I talked about that in another show?
Right.
Hey, that's my dad talking to me. You know, I need to bring this up. This is important to me. You got to almost push yourself past the discomfort and get that those check-ins out there, like Monica could have done with that gentleman.
Well, I just think that we don't have to live, Paul, with barriers.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point. I don't think we need to live with that. I think we could say, okay, I had this barrier, through the years. I have felt this particular way. It started when I was younger. But the point is, by really giving it air, giving it space, giving it voice, I think we could eliminate the feelings that we have about ourselves.
Right.
So there doesn't have to be a victim.
Sure.
That's what Jill said as well.
In fact, she didn't live in the notion of being a victim of betrayal, that she's just going through relationship and learning.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
So while agreeing with you 100%, I also want to say that as a therapist, that's all we work with on its most basic level is getting people past their barriers. And there's a ton of people, Harriet, that are not like you, that are stuck on a certain viewpoint of themselves, who are paralyzed to move forward, who are afraid to ask those questions. And I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying
I know.
This is a lot of what people are going through, and that's why I bring it up, because the message is really, hey, it's okay for you to bring it up. You know, push past your own barriers.
Yes, push past your own barriers. You know what? I would have wrote that down as a blog for KVMR. That would have been a great blog, pushing past your barriers.
What it also acknowledges, hey, I got my own stuff, and it's coloring my perception of what's going on, but it also may be preventing me from doing something about it.
Right. I just think that even the infidelity, even the relationship going that way, mm-hmm. doesn't have to happen if, in fact, you start communicating with each
right.
other.
That's always been your mantra.
It is. It is my mantra.
And that's really another thing therapists do, really. I mean, at the end of the day, it's trying to get them, our clients, to see more of what's going on for themselves, but also communicating what they need with others,
mm-hmm.
whether it's their boss, their significant other, their neighbor, and whoever they're having a conflict with.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about setting the stage for healing. What did you mean
right,
by that?
Right. Well, I think that, you know, there are main fears that you have even before or when you're setting the stage mm-hmm. for healing, and that one of the things is called like logistics.
Okay.
Okay. That would be, am I going to have them live here, or are we separating?
Sure. Well, the couple, both individually and together, have to decide whether the marriage can survive, or does it have to end? Do they stay just for the kids, or is a divorce inevitable? Maybe the cheater, does he have to move out for a while?
Mm-hmm.
Can couples counseling be an option? Of course, as a therapist, I'm going to say, I hope so.
And I do hope so, too. That's mm-hmm. why I said at the beginning of the show, this is a real heavy, weighty happening to you.
Right.
I mean, it is devastating. Change is devastating.
Right. I kind of look at it as a house that you see from the street mm-hmm. that's pretty and perfect. And yet, if you look at the house from above, a wrecking ball just came through and just took out the middle of it, just destroyed it.
God.
But from the front, it looks like everything's fine. But inside, it's turmoil. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what each person's going through.
Mm-hmm.
And you help me understand that it isn't just the victim that's feeling things. The perpetrator has feelings as well. They're feeling guilty. They're feeling ashamed, perhaps remorseful.
Angry with themselves for even having gone that route.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they should have spoke up about what wasn't working.
So it's almost both of them are pushing this shopping cart that's just full. And you know how hard that is to move, you know, and they're both pushing it maybe side by side, but they got to dump that. They got to talk about that. And, the therapist in me is always going to say, wouldn't it be great if both of you can talk to a counselor that could work this out and help facilitate self-disclosure of feelings on both sides?
I think that's great. I would go that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really believe in going that way because you have a fear that how am I going to recover from this?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you understand why it really happened?
Sure.
You know? Or what about even when you go your own way and you say, hey, we should not be together? What about that thought that maybe it would happen again?
Oh, wow.
That's pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I think it's a reasonable fear. I think they have fears like, what if I can't make it by myself? You know, what if that
being alone?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, yes. And in fact, I think, I didn't do a tally of this with all the women I've spoken to, but I think that a lot of times people stay with someone just because of that feeling that they don't want to live alone. Also, which brings up why maybe they didn't ask when they knew something was wrong,
or they married that person knowing that he had that propensity.
That's true.
You know, I'm so afraid of being alone. I'll take this guy, even though he's not so great in that area.
Right. Hey, so maybe when this happens, infidelity happens, maybe it is an eye opener for both of them, saying, you know what, we were committed, but gee, we shouldn't have been committed to each other because we're really different.
Or the eye opener is like, wow, we got together for the right reasons, but boy, we didn't communicate at all. And look what happened.
Yeah.
That's possible too, right?
Absolutely.
So you have this fear of being apart, but then there's the notion of staying together perhaps for the wrong reasons.
Right. I don't really think, well, I don't have kids, but I don't, I do have kids, but I mean, I don't think that staying together for the kids is the message that you want to give to each other or to the children, I would imagine. I think that...
But in previous generations, they did just that.
Yes, they did.
We, you stay for the kids. It's the honorable thing to do. You know, some women stayed in abusive relationships for the kids.
Right.
And, you know, I think that kids typically do sense domestic violence. They do sense discord between mom and dad. But, you know, just staying together in a dysfunctional relationship just for them isn't a good thing. You know, so we're talking about fears under logistics. I think they do need to understand what's happening, right?
Absolutely. I think the second stage for healing might be what I wrote down was gathering the story.
Okay.
Again, maybe that you don't know what the real story is.
Right.
Why it happened. Maybe you're into those false assumptions again.
Well, this goes back to Monica, too. You know, is the story that she could have done something different, or there was something wrong with her, or was it all about him? That's right. Kind of the story, right?
Right. Absolutely. So I think at this point it puts the unfaithful, the cheater, whichever word you want to use, that he or she has to admit to their partner to really have that transparency to the best of his ability or her ability to say, hey, why did I go and do this? Because how do you heal
if you
can't admit to what's going on or why it happened? Or think,
how are you going to not fear that's going to happen again unless you really know the catalyst underlying the act itself?
Right. And then really, if you're going to move forward, and let's say you decided you're going to live together or you're not going to live together, that takes a whole new commitment of what the plan is. What's your action plan that you're going to do to either heal or not, or to separate? And you're both okay with that.
What I heard from you is also logistics, because you may have to have, the cheater may have to agree, okay, this person is someone I work with, so I need to transfer to another department.
Oh.
Or if he's in a position of power, maybe he transfers her, or he moves to another division, or you know, makes an obvious effort. Okay, this is important to me. I'm going to separate myself physically from her so that my wife knows I'm really serious about not seeing her again.
Wow.
What do you think?
No, I think that's really, I like hearing you say that. I think that's really good. I think a major change has to happen there.
You talked about making a new commitment. That to me is what I
heard. It is a new commitment, right? Well, the unfaithful or the cheater can't continue to be in that infidelity into seeing that woman or a man.
Right.
Continuing that. They need to really break it off.
Right.
You know, you told me once that your wife in her job told a couple that they really needed to come forth and not have any relations other than theirs for the next 6 months.
That's what she said, yeah. And she's given that advice a couple times. And her premise is you need some time together just to figure out what the relationship is and what it means and is it worth saving. But you can't make a good decision if you're colored by the relationship with the outside person. So if it's if he's a cheater and he admits this to the wife, and the wife says, okay, we need to just kind of coexist the next 6 months, not make any major decisions, and think and kind of take stock of our relationship. But you can't take stock of that, honey, unless you have no relations with this woman. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah. It does. I read that if you stay together, you still have the home together, okay? you have a better chance of rebuilding than if you break up and have separate living quarters.
Like if
what do you think
out
about that?
We've not talked about this,
but I know.
I think that's really interesting. If you stay together, then you're kind of forced to work it out. Unless you just decide to be roommates, you know, and wait out the 6 months and then break up. You know, what I'm hearing from you is by not moving out, you're kind of saying, I'm committed to this relationship, let's work on it. But if the person moves out, and maybe he has to because the other person's so hurt for a limited, finite time, but as long as he's out of the house, then he's kind of not facing what he did to her, to his wife.
That's a very good point. He's moved away from it a little bit, hasn't he?
He's kind of minimized the natural consequence of his behavior.
Yes, exactly.
I don't like that. You know, but of course, he has to face the absolute hurt and pain of what he's done face to face, and that, of course, that can't feel good. You know, so
no.
We men sometimes we avoid those conversations by just, you know, not being there.
Yeah, that I could see how that would lead to not rebuilding together.
Mm-hmm. But really, I could also see the woman's side saying, I'm so hurt and angry, I need some space, but hopefully it's finite. That's what I would think.
Yeah, I think that space would really be detrimental to mm-hmm. rebuilding. And that's just me, but I think that when you're facing someone every day, mm-hmm. you could kind of sit down and work it out,
right,
or talk about it, or at least have it become very clear that we want to be together or we don't want to be mm-hmm. together, or what that commitment is, or
but
what that contract is going to be. So what is what I was going to say? So what if it's unpleasant?
Sure. Well, you know, and I'm also thinking if he's home, he can't really be complaining about how she's feeling. He has to be more accountable for his time and his whereabouts.
Right.
This other woman has to be dealt with, like I said, not like in a mob sense. But, you know, she would be...
In a mob sense sounds good to me, by the way.
She needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Suddenly she vanishes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he needs to be... he needs to show that it's over, and that in a way that's convincing to his wife.
And that he really believes it's over.
True.
You know, that he's not
still... It's not just convincing her.
No, it's not. And it really is about, he needs to look at what is it, that why he did it,
mm-hmm.
and are there things in this new relationship that he has that he likes better than being in the one with his wife? And that needs to be talked about.
And
again,
you know,
I don't mean it's
that,
not just men.
How does the man say that in a way that doesn't completely destroy the wife? That I got these things from her that I'm not getting from you. How can he say it in a way where it could be an opening to where, well, maybe we can do those things together. You know, maybe we haven't been doing more things like dinners or trips or, you know, things in the bedroom, all those things. You know, so he needs to say why, but she needs to hear it, even though it must be awful. Right?
Well, vice versa. I mean, you know, I know you're saying man, but I would say the woman, she needs to tell him what she's finding
mm-hmm.
exciting about this new partner that she went with, and to be able to say, hey, babe, these are the things that I really liked a lot
mm-hmm.
in this relationship.
Sure.
I don't love this guy,
mm-hmm.
okay? But I did like these elements that were happening for
mm-hmm.
me. And I'm finding I really don't get that from you. So
right.
There has to be that honesty, that kind of talk.
I'm feeling uncomfortable, just the notion of it. It's got to
really?
Be tough.
Yeah, yeah.
But
any
relationship that's worth keeping is worth going through that discomfort to clean house about it.
You know what? Discomfort and a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Go for the discomfort
right.
and go for the challenge. I mean, if you committed to those things.
Yeah. And this is, we're talking about a committed relationship, right?
Yeah. So you committed to those mm-hmm. things, to really know the truth and to live in that moment of the truth.
You talked about discomfort. I look at it, some therapy, like going to the dentist, because we all hate going to the dentist, right? We fear
no,
what?
No, not me.
Of course. Harriet breaks all rules.
No, I have good
barriers.
Teeth. I have good.
You have amazing teeth. Okay.
Oh, this is funny.
Universally,
this
other funny, than Harriet cool. Diamond.
Yeah. Oh, please.
We fear the dentist, right? Why
yeah.
do we fear the dentist?
Well, I would fear the dentist. Oh, let me say this.
Just people in general.
Okay. I would fear. Why? Because
yeah.
there's pain.
Yes.
I don't want
okay.
pain.
Okay. So people avoid the dentist. So I look at therapy like you have to go to the dentist to resolve that wound correctly. And to resolve it, you have to enter into some pain in order to fix it correctly. And that's what dentistry is, right? You have to engage in pain to be numbed so that that wound is healed in a proper way. And that's what therapy is. You don't talk about the weather. You talk about the real stuff, and it's uncomfortable. I'm going back to what you're saying about enter into discomfort is what I heard from you.
Hey, I have had a lot of discomfort,
mm-hmm.
and I feel that, I know this sounds funny, but I've said this to you, that I feel in gratitude for the experience, any experience, and my experiences have not been painless.
No, you've gone through
some
stuff.
Yeah, but the point is, I know it's going to take me out to a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you believe that,
sure.
then you go for the challenge, then you go for the discomfort, then you go for not having your head in the sand, mm-hmm. then you go for asking straight to get
wow.
straight answers.
Well,
no,
it's
a mindset. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is a mindset.
One of the things, you talk about mindset and you talked about gratitude, and I actually read this at the beginning of the year, that you'll do better in life if everything you look at starts from gratitude, that you're great, you feel gratitude that you're alive and healthy and that you have a job and you have people
yeah.
that care about you, and that when you put mm-hmm. that, you preface that with mm-hmm. a situation you're dealing with, somehow it's not so bad
no.
and it's totally manageable.
Right.
You know, coming from gratitude is something I try to do all the time, because sometimes I'm not so grateful. Sometimes
yeah.
I'm annoyed mm-hmm. by people, by traffic, mm-hmm. by work situations, by mm-hmm. things at home or with my pets
right.
or my neighbors. And it's so easy to just blow off steam, which is technically helpful for the moment, but of course doesn't help you. But when you come from gratitude, it's just like, wow, you know, I'm just so lucky to be alive. I'm blessed. I'm grateful. I've got wonderful people in my life. Oh, yeah, and this annoying thing that just happened, it's all right.
And it's not all that bad,
it's
right?
It's perspective, right?
I'm telling you, that's what our show is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's perspective. We're not changing people's actions. Mm-hmm. They need to do that on their own. But sometimes when you have a different perspective,
mm-hmm.
you see it differently, so you act differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of hearing new information.
Mm-hmm. But what about that phrase that we've heard all our lives, the person that always sees a fly in the ointment? So their perspective is, bad things happen to me for a reason. I'm a bad person. Life is negative. My future is doomed. I'm going to live a rotten life.
Ah, well, there you go. I believe in energies.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we're magnets.
Mm-hmm.
Our mind is a magnet. If we're thinking good thoughts, good things happen
right.
to us. Now, I could be challenged, all mm-hmm. good things happening to you. No, but you know what? Yes, good things are the end result
sure.
of it all.
Mm-hmm.
That person who's walking around with that metaphor, I'm really crap,
yeah.
is going to get crap.
Yeah, and crapped on.
And crapped on, exactly. I believe that, Paul.
Mm-hmm. So life is about perspective.
It
you
is.
Know, if you choose to look at life with opportunity and gratitude, and that good things happen for a reason, and good things happen to good people, and that you're a good person, you know, you can expect good things to happen. You know, you talk about energy. You know, if you're putting out good energy people come to you. And
yes.
that's related in relationships,
yes.
too.
Right.
How many of us have had a relationship and we're like, there's something up with that person and you just don't mesh?
Mm-hmm.
It's because of their baggage doesn't match your baggage.
Yes.
You know, if you have
baggage. And sometimes that's really sad.
Oh, yeah.
I find that. I mean, even in the dating world, mm-hmm. where somebody had some very good things going for them, but their baggage got in the way.
Right.
And it wasn't even about the last year that was. It was from their childhood.
Right.
That you were now witnessing.
Mm-hmm. I have to admit something. In my youth, I was the person that always unconsciously looked for the damsel in distress. And I realize now that it was meeting my unmet needs mm-hmm. of feeling good enough and capable and being a rescuer. But of course, the relationship never worked out because mm-hmm. they had all these issues. So our baggage mm-hmm. then actually matched. We had the same brand. Mm-hmm. We bring these dysfunctional baggage to the relationship, and the brands match. But of course, that doesn't mean you're going to match.
Boy, that's very good. I was on the phone in the last, I think, 24 hours just mm-hmm. talking about some people needing a relationship where they're strong and the other person is needy.
Ooh. And they were serious about what
they liked the fact that this person was needy.
Tell me more.
No, it did something. It did something for them. Uh-huh. It made them feel good. It made them feel strong. Just what you're saying from your childhood.
So they wanted that and were comfortable with that disparity.
Yes.
Wow. And they didn't think that was weird.
I don't think that they actually looked at saying, oh, this person's needy.
And see, no, Harry, I thought you were going to talk. This is how I thought you were going to end your sentence. That a strong person wanted to find another strong person that didn't have issues like them so that they could, like, not have issues between each other.
Oh, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll go for that. Paul, yeah. I'm raising my hand on that one. Yeah, that's where it's at for me. Mm-hmm. I would like that always. I just want to add one thing
sure.
before we end up without any time. The other stage that I thought for healing mm-hmm. Was acknowledging the impact
of what?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
What does that mean?
And it's about both people, just like you said, the betrayer or the one who is betrayed, that there the feelings of guilt and anger and pain and fear and shame and sadness and the breaking up of your families and the breaking up of friends that you've had for years
sure.
that you may not see anymore.
Oh, friends of your partner.
Friends of,
that
yes.
Now they
what
have
do you think
sides.
About that? Yes. Yeah.
That is a loss.
It right. So I
clubs that you went to together.
Yeah.
The restaurants you went to. You know, all of that could change.
And change. Let's really face facts. Change is tough.
Yes.
Okay. I always think it's for the better. But yes, okay, I do have that belief. Mm-hmm. But the point is, change is difficult.
Right.
And challenging.
So what other kind of pains do they have to address? You talk kind of emotional stuff.
So, okay, what about, here's one. So they're now staying in the same house, maybe.
Okay.
Okay, and working out their issues. And the bedroom comes up. I like that you used the word bedroom before instead of saying sex.
Okay.
I would have gone sex, but okay, bedroom. I like the word bedroom. Mm-hmm. And so here they are in the bedroom and...
Having sex.
Having sex, but the point is before they do, there's even those thoughts of just what went on.
Is he going to be thinking of her
yes,
while
is
he's
he?
Having sex with me?
Or
like that?
Or yes,
or
exactly.
Yeah.
Am I just as good?
Uh-huh. I was actually thinking the health part of it, too. I mean,
absolutely.
Does he need some testing to make sure he didn't pick anything up?
I love that you said that. I'm glad I didn't have to say that. Absolutely, because you know what?
That's a reality.
It is a reality. And we really care about our health and our bodies and taking mm-hmm. care of our bodies, you know, the best that we can.
Right.
And here's a third party. That's now in the
bedroom with them.
Thank you. In the bedroom with them.
Yeah.
And so, yes, that's a concern. So how do you relax?
Mm-hmm.
How do you just hang out and relax? Because all these things have to be going through your mind, okay? What it is that mm-hmm. I'd say is I would talk about it in the bedroom.
All roads lead to communication.
Yes. There you go.
That's your mantra as well.
You know what? I could even end the show with that one.
Yeah?
Yeah. I would say that if you could just communicate and really put it out there, mm-hmm. what's going on in your head, and know that your partner, start thinking this way, your partner really wants to hear those things. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Especially if they
because
want to rebuild
the relationship. Because they want to please each... Exactly.
Right.
You want to please each other. Pleasing each other is knowing what both of you think.
Sure.
And want. And need.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Then there's no more unfaithful.
So if you're able to do these things, communicate regularly about needs.
Yep.
It isn't just a sex thing. This is how you preserve your relationship in general.
Right.
Absolutely. So I think we are going to talk about the sex thing, though, aren't we? next show?
Well, I think it should be our next show.
Okay.
Because you know what? How do you have the best sex that you ever had? Okay? What's going to make that? Because all the issues we've talked about mm-hmm. in our programs, the barriers,
sure.
the love myths that we've had, the gender differences that we've talked about, okay? Here, add this show.
Sure.
You know, infidelity, there's always a smidgen, maybe not even a smidgen, a mm-hmm. bigger smidgen than a smidgen.
Right.
Okay. That not getting what you need is part of it.
Got it. So we have a minute. You want to talk a little bit about our next show?
Well, I think we should make the next show getting the greatest sex you could ever have.
Okay.
And what is that?
Well, it isn't just a stranger that you pick up at a bar, although that's exciting. The best sex to me has to do with the emotional connectivity to that person.
For sure.
You know?
Right.
But there's, you know, technical things, too, that help. But when you have a connection
yeah.
with your mind and your heart, that is amazing.
It's more about that
right.
than any toys or anything that you need in your bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So
okay.
I do need to close.
Oh.
So although this is somewhat tongue-in-cheek show, this is not therapy. And as always, the views and opinions expressed here do not reflect those of KVMR, its board, management, staff, or underwriters. We appreciate you gave us time for our show. Thanks for hanging out with us. I'm Paul.
And I'm Harriet.
And we are...
He said, she said.